Family Bible Camp, and our speaker for this evening is Brother Chris Sales from the Collingwood Ecclesia. His subject for the class this evening is Shine Where You Are, and our reading was taken from Matthew chapter 5, verse 1 to 16. Brother Chris.
Thanks, Brother Stephen. Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
How's everyone doing tonight?
Good,
warm. So we read from Matthew chapter 5, and verse 16 is what we're going to sort of focus in on. Obviously, the topic is shine where you are, so let your light shine. But there's something really important about this verse that we need to understand. We are to do things, good deeds, shine our light, let people know about the hope that we have within us, what good things God has done for us, but there's a purpose for doing it. What's the reason that we want to let people know what God's done in our life? What's the verse say? What's the motivation for letting our light shine? Okay, it's the second half of the verse, right? That they might see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So if we don't shine our light, it's like putting it under a bushel, a candlestick under a bushel. It doesn't give out any light. It's of no value to anyone. So if we keep the gospel message to ourselves, it doesn't do anyone any good. So we must do it so that people can see, but it's to glorify God in heaven. Okay, there's sort of a well-known saying that says, keep the faith, but not to yourself. All right, you need to be able to share what we know. But the motivation has to be that ultimately we direct people to God. And if your Bible's open to Matthew chapter 5, just have a look over in chapter 6. This is also all part of the Sermon on the Mount, as we call it. And chapter 6, it may sound confusing, because chapter 6 says, well, if you're going to give alms, if you're going to do some good deed, you do it in secret. And if you pray, you should pray in secret. And if you're going to fast, make sure that people don't know about it. So what's the point here? Is Jesus contradicting himself? Well, obviously not. That can't be. So the key is notice, for example, we'll just take the first example of almsgiving in the first few verses, or doing righteous deeds. It says in verse 1 of chapter 6, take heed that you do not do your alms or your righteous deeds before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. So don't do that. If your motivation is to bring glory to yourself, look at these great things I'm doing, even if we're preaching the truth, even if we're giving money, even if we're praying, even if we're fasting, all these, if our motivation is self-serving, then it's of no value. So there's no contradiction. It's all about motivation. So tonight we're going to talk about how we can shine the gospel message, how we can let people know a reason for the hope that is within us, but to direct them to God. That has to be the motivation. If it's so that other people say, oh, it's amazing you're doing that, or if it's so we can feel good about ourselves, or those kind of things creep in, then we need to be careful. So that's our kind of focus verse for the night. And the other thing I should say is I do have a handout, and I was debating, like, if I gave you my handout, like, you'd have my notes, and then there'd be no reason to listen to me. So if you are taking notes, that's good, but know that a lot of this is going to be on the handout, which I have. You don't have to take extensive notes. So for example, this is on the handout. And it's this idea of sharing versus preaching. So God calls each of us to shine right where we are, wherever you are, in different ages, different stages in life, different circumstances. Not someday or somewhere else, but today in your school, your workplace, your neighborhoods, just like Jesus said in our focus verse, Matthew 5:16. When we let our light shine through good deeds, it points people back to God, if that's our motivation. Sharing the gospel doesn't always mean preaching. Okay, so this is there's maybe a subtle difference there. It often means living with kindness, courage, and integrity. And so this sort of little phrase, we know God has a purpose in our lives. All things work together for good. We've been placed here on purpose. Now shine on purpose. It needs to be intentional. It's not something we can just kind of, well, maybe if it happens or if circumstances are right. We need to be a bit more focused, a bit more, there has to be a little bit of planning involved. You can't just kind of let things happen and think that something good's going to come of it. So shine on purpose. So what we're basically saying is you don't have to do this. Now, this happens to be in Kenya. We were blessed to go there earlier this year. This is actually Amelia Yearsley, Martha's niece. And we went around the town. We had some posters made up. This is some of the young people that were at the Life program with us. And we're just walking around town talking to people. I mean, that's pretty cool. And they tended to be fairly receptive. They were gathering around and listening to the message. So that's kind of cool. If you get that opportunity to go to another country, maybe you feel a little less conspicuous because it's not your kind of home area or whatever, go for it. But you don't have to do that to be able to just talk to people, your own people that you rub shoulders with on a daily basis. So that's kind of our motivation tonight, to shine where you are. Now, having said that, we might often think of missionary work being kind of overseas. You know, we have to go to Africa, or we have to go to, you know, South America, or wherever it happens to be, the Caribbean. But there are local events, if you like, sort of domestic missionary work, right here in the Great Lakes area. So, for example, in the next 6 weeks, we're going to have the CNE, the Canadian National Exhibition in Toronto. And the Christadelphians are going to have a booth there. And you can sign up to volunteer to go there. That's my granddaughter, so it's okay. So there's a sign-up sheet. You can sign up for a block of time. There's four-hour blocks at the CNE, and you can be there. The booth's all set up. You just have to kind of run it. It's pretty self-explanatory. And then the rest of the day, you can actually enjoy the CNE if you like. That's something you can do. There's at least two praise fests going on, one in Cambridge on August the 9th, and one in Collingwood on September the 10th. And that is, it's a day where there's music, there's games, there's a Bible booth, there's food, and we invite the public to come and interact with us. There's the International Plowing Match, which this year is in Grimsby, I think, somewhere near Grimsby. We have a booth there. And you can sign up to come, and it lasts for about a week, and you can sign up for one day. So there are things you can get involved in that are kind of like missionary work, but they are local. But our focus is going to be, what can you do just in your own everyday life? Doesn't have to be a big event, doesn't have to be an ecclesial event, it's just you, just being who you are. And I'd like you to turn this passage up, 1 Peter chapter 3. Because this is a really, really key verse that I've thought about a lot in my life. And you're probably familiar with it. It's one of those ones that we could probably recite. But I asked you to look it up because if you like to color in or make notes in your Bible. Here it is. It says, "Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have." Okay, so first of all, some preparation. Be ready. Be prepared. But the question I always thought to myself is, how do I get people to ask me? Right? If only they'd ask. Right? And quite often, maybe they would ask, and then you'd kind of fumble and kind of come up with some, you know, answer. So, for example, I could pretty much guarantee 100% certainty that sometime in the next month, when you go back to school or when you get back to work, someone's going to say something to you. What are they going to say? What did you do this summer? Like, everyone's going to get asked that question, yes? What are you going to say? I hung out with some friends. We went camping. Right? You wouldn't be lying. But like, what an opportunity. You really want to know what I did? I did this summer. Let me tell you. I went to this Bible camp. I met these people from another country that have the same faith as me. It was so cool. Like, have a plan. Don't just let that question kind of just wash over you. What did you do this summer? It's a great opportunity. And that's just an example. So that's what we're going to focus on for the next few slides, is how do we get people to ask us a question? Because if you're like me, I'm not one of those great people to kind of insert myself into a conversation or kind of provoke a conversation. Some people are like that. They can just start talking to people and it's great. But that's probably not most of us. So if someone asks me a question, that's a lot easier to then have a conversation. So give people a reason to ask. That's kind of our first theme here. So when you're at school, and for probably 50% of our audience, we're at school. Now, some of you might be at a Christadelphian school. That might be a bit different. So maybe think of other events that you might be involved in. So live the message. Just being a kind person. Have integrity. Be inclusive. Don't be like little cliques and, separating people. These sort of things speak volumes. Known as the one who doesn't gossip. Like, you're different. Why are you different? Who helps the lonely, who stands up for others. These kinds of things. It's not preaching. It's just living the message. It's being the kind of person that someone might then ask you why you behave a certain way. There's a whole slide we have on how to start conversations, which we'll get into this idea of how to get people to ask you. But think about when you have quote-unquote free time at lunch break, or maybe doing a group project about something. You can maybe share some personal stories of faith. Invite friends to youth events. That's a great example. You know, maybe a next-door neighbor if you're not going to the same school as them. Those are great opportunities. Think of all the fun CYC activities that we have in Southern Ontario, all the sports challenges and so on. What a great opportunity, a really simple way to introduce someone to the faith. You know, because, there's going to be some talks in the morning, but then all afternoon we get to play football or soccer or volleyball or whatever. It's a quite easy way, or even for the younger ones, you know, the little disciples program, that must have been like the funnest day ever in Ancaster there, right? Like, bring some friends along, and maybe their parents will want to be involved as well. We will talk about wearing shirts. There's got a whole on that, but I think that's something that we are doing better as a community, having shirts for Bible camps and so on. But think about other things, like if you have your notebook, like your school notebook or whatever, it's got a verse or something on the front. So there's a few examples. Does anyone want to share a story or an example or something that's from there or something else about how, as young people, we might be able to share the gospel message? Oh, these fans are great, Paul. Thanks. I'm going to stand right about here. Whoa. Thanks to Paul for the great fans. Thank you, Brother Paul. Oh, I know why you guys all sit here now. So, examples. Anyone want to give another example or idea? Brother Dan?
Not just how your summer was, but just how every time. How was your weekend?
Yeah.
You know, all those opportunities.
Totally.
I'm at CYC.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm at the meeting.
Yep. So on a Monday morning, what'd you do this weekend? Tell them. Yeah, that's great. Great example. Thank you. Yeah, because especially at schools, that's always the question. What did you do on the weekend? And they're telling all their stories, so why don't we tell ours? Any of the others? Sister Linda? Wow. Okay, so during the pandemic or anything. Well, that's the thing. Thanks, Sister Linda, for that. So when people comment about something, how bad things are in the world or at the pandemic or the war that's going on in any place in the world right now, use that as an opportunity to say, yeah, it's terrible, but it gives me comfort knowing that God is in control. What a great line, okay? And again, it may go nowhere. You'll soon know whether someone is interested or whether the conversation just dies. So they don't ask you, right? But you've provided the opportunity. You've kind of opened the door. Brother Kevin Cooper was telling me the other day that he stopped on his way on Sunday. He was all dressed up at the gas station that he always stops to. And the guy said to him, why are you all dressed up? And, I mean, most of us probably say, I'm on my way to church or something like that. But Kevin went one step further. He said to the guy, I'm on my way to church because I need to have my sins forgiven. And apparently the guy was like, and then Kevin says, I'm like, why don't you know, you could come as well. Yeah, I guess the guy said, I don't go to church. He said, well, you should come along. The guy said, oh, I have so many sins, I'd get hit by a lightning bolt if I walked in the door. And Kevin said, you know, we all have sins, like, and they can all be forgiven. It was like a great conversation. Now, nothing may come of it, but what a great line. I'm not just on my way to church. Why am I going to church? Because I need to have my sins forgiven. That's what we're doing on a Sunday morning. So that was great. All right. At work, okay, for the other half of you in the crowd that have to go to work, except many of you may be working at home, so some of these things maybe don't apply as they would have traditionally, but still opportunity. So this is excellence as evangelism. So being a great employee, all right, or if you're the boss, being a great employer. We were in Kenya with a brother from Perth, Brother Jared Skipper, who has his own business, and he tries to use Boaz as his model. Right? When he went out to the reapers and greeted them and they replied, you know, he's trying to be a really good employer. So either side of that you're on, you know, are you doing it with diligence? You know, is there grace in the way you treat your fellow employees or your employees if you're the boss? So there's some ideas there. If someone happens to, because of your personality, recognize you're the kind of person who might have some answers, maybe they will tell you about some problems they're having. Just be a good listener. And maybe even ask if, you know, tell them, I'm going to pray for you and that you get through this difficult situation. And maybe, would you like to say a prayer together? That would be far beyond my level of comfort, but maybe that might work for you. And also this, faith in the flow, just kind of like just in your everyday conversation. Again, kind of like what Dan was saying. You know, just mention, oh, I heard this great, point on Sunday in if you want to use the word sermon, whatever, you don't have to worry about all that kind of stuff. You're just trying to, you know, call it church. We know we say ecclesia, but that's going to just weird them out. Just talk to them normally in your flow. You know, the talk we heard on Sunday made this really good point. It really helped me in my life. Whatever, just make it part of your sort of everyday conversation. And like Linda said, maybe they'll be like trying to terminate the conversation as quickly as possible. Or maybe something will come from it as things kind of go on. They'll certainly know where you stand. And again, our goal is we want them to ask. Okay, any examples there? I'm going to wander underneath this fan over here. Any examples from work? Anyone want to add to that? Yep, Brother Grant. Great idea. Yes, so before you take your meal, bow your head. If you're in a restaurant, when you're at work, anywhere, do those sorts of things. You never know who might be watching. And especially at work, because they're going to see it like all the time. Think of Daniel, right? They knew when he was praying, and they knew what he was doing. That's a great one. Thanks, Brother Grant. Carolyn. Okay.
Jordan was recently working on a job site, and someone asked him if he was religious, so it must have been something about his demeanor. And it turns out the painter on the job site played hockey with David Ledbetter. And he said, oh, Chris Adolphians, I know David. He was never allowed to play hockey on Sunday morning.
Wow. Okay. Okay, people do notice things, like, so just so everyone can hear, you know, certain things we do, Wednesday nights, Friday nights, whatever it is, Sunday mornings, and maybe we don't do what everyone else is doing those days, some sort of sport or other activity, and people do notice, and that might provoke a question, and chances are, especially, say, in Southern Ontario or in the Great Lakes region, if they know someone, we might know them as well, and that really is impressive, right? When people, you know that guy from, like, Manitoulin, how'd you know them? Or, you know, those kind of conversations. Tim.
I got a sticker on my car that says, Jesus Christ for King, 2025.
Okay. So bumper stickers. We're going to have a slide of bumper stickers. That's a great idea.
That's
yep. Totally. Totally, bumper stickers. Yep, Kim?
Sometimes, over years, you don't even realize what kind of an impact you're having until you actually hear something. I heard one of my employees say on the telephone as I was walking by our office, we can't do that on Wednesday night because you can stop 5 o'clock.
Wow.
You know, and you don't even realize that there is a kind of impact.
Yep. Yep, yep. So when we're consistent and have a pattern, they do pick up on it, like Wednesday night classes. Yep. Paul?
Just use every opportunity that comes up, even if it's something that is negative. I'll give a story of that. I'm the third Christadelphian that's worked at my workplace. We have a sort of a thing at work where if they say that if you take a coffee before it's done dripping and stuff like that, they notice that Brother Joe Abel and myself would do that often. They call it Christadelphianing the coffee. It's okay, you know, like you could take offense at that, but like, you know, you can have fun with it too. So when I see somebody now who goes and takes the coffee before it's done dripping, I say that they're a convert. You know, they start coming out with us now, you know. So have some fun with it as well. It's,
okay. You know, so if there's a bit of teasing going on because of your faith, just roll with it.
Roll with it.
Yeah. He must work in a site where there's lots of guys, I think. That sounds like a guy thing. All right. Okay. In your neighborhood. So this is something, again, we can all do. We all have a home somewhere. And so our neighborhood. So we looked at sort of a school, work, now neighborhood. So hospitality is ministry. Host a barbecue, a games night, a holiday open house, whatever. Build relationships with your neighbors. Somehow, some way. And it might be a sign on the front lawn, it might be whatever, or an open invitation. And it may lead to something, it may not. We've hosted like a dessert night where we ask some of the neighbors to come over and we just have desserts, but it gives you a chance to talk and interact. So that's something to think about. Open your home to others. Service projects offer to help with yard work, babysitting errands. Especially if you have some neighbors who are elderly or busy, you know, shovel out their driveway, mow their grass, whatever the case may be. You know, show that you care about others. That's going to mean something. That people are going to remember those things. This one, again, might be a little bit out there. Maybe you're going for a walk. You may have every evening or whatever it is, you go for a walk. So as you walk, pray. Meditate and think about, you know, observe who's in your neighborhood. We've just recently moved to a new neighborhood, and we don't know many of the people yet. Thanks for that. I can see my computer hasn't been on for a while. There we go. But yeah, you know, I think, oh, you know, and we might think, oh, that person would never listen, or this. Don't do that. Just pray. And ask God to open hearts and, again, give you an opportunity. Hopefully someone will ask you about what you're doing. Any other suggestions there, things that you could do in the community? Linda.
And that letter at my front door says, remember when I told you about Jesus? Remember I told you he was coming back? Remember those verses we talked about? Go read them, because I might be coming back to get you. And maybe we will. Maybe we will come back for those people. And yeah, it's just a thought.
Thanks for that. That's something we could all do. Because if our house is empty someday, they might wonder what happened to us. So the letter will tell them what happened. Anything else? Yep, Jackie.
We welcomed her in, and she looked around. She goes, those Bibles you have all over your house, are they ornaments or do you actually use them?
Wow.
So we know we actually do use them. So she said, well, I've got one question. I'm a Catholic. She says, I've been asking the nuns, the priests. I've been kicked out of all my classes because nobody will answer my questions. All I want to know is, what does the Lord's Prayer mean? So we thought, well, we were just newly baptized and we just new to Brantford. So we got Colin Badger to come over, and she said, you know, I'd like to ask you this question. And this was fairly new after we'd moved in. And she was so impressed. She kept coming every week we'd have Bible class. Now she was baptized.
Wow.
And she's still in the meeting. And she's had a lot of struggles, but she continues every day. And that was just that, just welcome the new neighbor, come on in. And she noticed the Bibles, and that was what she said. Do you use them? Yeah. Then I want my questions answered.
Wow.
Yeah, so, you know, it was, and that's why we were in Brantford. We didn't know why we're going to Brantford. We're new in the meeting. We go, he works in Brantford. All my family and friends, the ecclesia in Hamilton.
Yeah.
Why are we moving to Brantford? So we made the move to Brantford, and that was it.
That's a great story. That's a great story. So two things in my mind came out of that. Number one, the Lord's Prayer, most people will know that well, or know of it. They may not know it. You can start with the Lord's Prayer and teach someone the truth. So there, if you want something kind of in your back pocket, something that if the opportunity like that arises, the Lord's Prayer is a great thing. Just go through it line by line and talk about it. So that was amazing. She came to your house to meet the new neighbor.
She came to meet us, and then
that's amazing.
The Bible said, like,
yeah.
Use the word, use ornaments.
Yeah. So what about going to the new neighbors that come and you know, bringing like a box of cookies or whatever and say, welcome to the neighborhood. So that can work both ways as an opportunity to get people to ask the question. I mean, what a great question. She asked the perfect question. You're like, let me answer that question or get my friend to help you. Yeah. And that's the other thing. You don't have to have all the answers. And if you don't, just say to them, like, I could introduce you to someone who would have the answer to that question. So there's nothing wrong with that. That's awesome. That's the best story of the night, I think, right there. Thanks, Jackie. So this is another one that we are maybe going to try later this summer in our new neighborhood. Public, what I might call worship. Do the readings at a local park, play Christadelphian music, whatever. If we were to do that, say, every, I don't know, Thursday night or something, and we could just sit around and you do the readings. People are going to notice, and you would do them out loud. It's not like a public lecture. You're just doing the readings. Instead of in your living room, just move out to some local public place and do the readings as a couple of families or whatever. I think that would be a great way to witness. Okay, Colossians chapter 4. Let's turn this one up. Oh, just one other thing I have in my notes written here that I didn't get onto there. Again, being prepared. Another suggestion might be, and this isn't on the notes because it just came out of a conversation we had with Sister Deb the other night, is to make up like a little business card that has some sort of catchy thing on it about the truth or whatever and some sort of contact details. And you can leave these business cards with someone if they ask you. You could leave them, you know, if you're wherever you happen to be, if you're in a restaurant or hotel or whatever. Business cards are really inexpensive to make up. And if you got someone to design a half-decent one, again, someone might ask you, and that's a quick way. And it takes the pressure off. You don't have to have the answers right then. And someone might contact you much later. So this one here, Colossians 4, verses 5 to 6, be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. I think that's what we're talking about. Make the most of every opportunity. Because I can probably tell you many, many times where afterwards, like, I kick myself. I missed an opportunity. The question was asked, and I kind of just didn't catch on to it. Or, you know, think of that one there. Bob and Jack are like, oh, yeah, you know, we kind of read our Bible sometimes. Or whatever. Like, if you'd been caught off guard, I don't know. If the conversation, you might have missed that opportunity. So make the most of every opportunity. Let your speech always be full of grace, seasoned with salt. So, and this one's maybe tricky for some people. So I just say here, when you can't think of anything to say, say something. All right, don't miss out on that opportunity. And even if you kind of like fumble over things, whatever, I think people are understanding of that. And again, if you don't have an answer, don't say nothing. Say, well, let me think about that, or let me get back to you on that, or I have a friend who can answer that question. So definitely just don't go blank or mute. So personal testimony is awesome. People love to hear when it's real, right? This is your experience that you've had, a personal testimony. Share what God has done in your life, and no one can argue with that story, right? And we know that maybe some other churches use testimonials in kind of a negative way. Well, they use it positively, but we kind of, gets a little bit with what Brother David was saying about providence, all right? We don't want to be presumptuous. But like, that's an awesome story that Jackie just told. And that, I think we're all encouraged by hearing that. So people love to hear stories. So tell them about what God's done in your life. Don't be afraid to share that. Sometimes the best way to get them to ask questions is to ask them questions and be genuine in that. Be genuinely interested. It could be this provocative as like, what gives you hope? Or do you ever think about spiritual things? Or anything. But you know, try and steer a conversation that way. It'll be pretty clear pretty quickly whether they're not interested at all. But you never know. Someone who might least expect will have will respond to that. And along with that, you know, live curious but not pushy. So be genuinely interested in others, whether it's someone at work, a neighbor, whatever. Try and build a relationship. Don't put pressure or, you know, be negative or preachy, those kind of things. You can just be yourself. So those are some general principles about trying to make the most of every opportunity. Anyone have any comments on this one, personal testimony ones or anything? Just generally, how can we be more interactive with people, and maybe a conversation can steer around to things that are deep and meaningful? Any thoughts on that before we get to some more specific things?
Chris, sometimes Gary. We have an issue one-on-one. That's where when two or three are assembled in my name, like for instance, when a youth conference, when they go on the Chi Chi Mong, they always schedule a group because now they get together and hymn sing. And you can see the crowd gathering around just in curiosity to see what they're singing about. And some will have questions. And so the ones that are comfortable one-on-one can go and maybe talk. We've been with Rochester Ecclesia at Letchworth Park, where in the evening we would sing. And people from the campground were interested in what we were singing and who we were as a group singing this. So it's a great way to witness as a group. If you have issues one-on-one, if you're there with a group, it also helps.
That's great.
You want to witness.
CYC activities, those kind of things could be done intentionally. Go to a park and present some sort of music thing or whatever. Just have some fellowship together and see what happens. Strength in numbers, for sure. Yes, Winter. Say again. Yeah, invite someone over for a meal. You're going to say a prayer. That might be weird for them. And then maybe say, usually after we have a meal, we do a reading from the Bible. Is that okay with you? Yeah, that'd be very courageous. Well done. Yep, John?
One very useful thing to keep in the back of your mind whenever you are trying to say something but can't think of something to say is to try and steer the conversation around Israel. And I like to kind of ask this question, or it's not really a question, it's more of a statement, is you're always going to see Israel in the news. And it's a really small country, but it gets a lot of airtime. Why? You know, and at least it doesn't just maybe spur conversation, but it gives them something to take away, even if they don't know. And maybe, you know, next time they see the news or whatever and they see Israel, it's like, oh yeah, that is kind of weird, you know, and to let them know that, you know, they are God's witness and he's using them for that purpose, you know.
That's a great point. You could probably on any given day say, let's look at the news today, and there they are.
Right.
Especially in this day and age. So yeah, that's, you've always got something to say. You say, watch Israel. Yes, Lee.
Donald Trump could open conversation.
What's that?
Donald Trump was up in conversation. Donald Trump is proof positive to me that God has a sense of humor.
Donald Trump is the reason God has a sense of humor. That's what Brother Lee said. And so you want to get a conversation going, just mention his name.
And you talk about God being involved in the kingdom of men.
Yeah.
He's placed Trump in charge of the powerful nation, but Trump was also involved with Israel.
Yes.
So that, two opportunities here.
So current events. I don't actually have that on any of my slides. So thanks, John and Lee. Current events. Yeah, for sure. Current events. And Bible prophecy. What a cool connection you can make. That's great. Okay. All right. And these are all on the handout. And I just will try and push on a little bit more quickly here. Just again, the idea is getting people to ask you and making the most of every opportunity. So we have here conversation starters. Sometimes the best way to share our faith is to spark curiosity and invite others into a deeper conversation. So what can we, you know, can be early, like something about Israel or something about Trump or whatever. So here's just some. What gives you hope when life gets hard? Everyone has trials and difficulties. How do you get through that? You could ask someone, how did you get through that, you know, death of a loved one or sickness or whatever, and see what they say. You never know where that might go. Have you ever had a moment that felt like more than coincidence, right? That was our class today for the adults and teens, right? God's providence. We don't see it as coincidence in the life of a believer, so that might provoke some conversations, you know? I better not tell too many stories. We'll get going too long here. Do you believe everything happens for a reason? Similar kind of thing, all right? And people might talk about karma or some, you know, weird thing, but it might lead, right? Like John said, you try and steer the conversation, if you can, into something that's maybe a little more deep and meaningful. Personal story prompts. So again, the testimony idea, can I tell you something that really helped me when I was struggling? You know, if they don't ask you, you could say to them, you know, I've had some difficulties, had this health situation or whatever. You know what really helped me? Talk about, you know, your faith group friends. You could talk about prayer, Bible reading, whatever. And again, they might go, well, that works for you. It doesn't work for me. Fine, but at least you tried. I used to think faith was just for Sundays until this happened. So, you know, people that just go to church because they're just kind of punching the clock. Well, for me, it's much bigger than that. My faith is all-encompassing. I've been learning something lately that's changed how I see things. Want to hear it, all right? And it may be something that you hear this week or at kids' camp or whatever or another Bible study you go to, and you can share that message. If it meant something to you, maybe it'll mean something to other people. Values and life questions. What do you think makes a life meaningful? That's a great question. You never know where that might lead. What's something you believe deeply and why? If you could ask God one question, what would it be? That'd be interesting. And again, some of these, you might, that's why I kind of balked a little bit of talking about Trump. You might get into discussions that you don't really want to go into. But anyway, this one also, you might, the response to that might be like, oh, okay. Or gentle invitation, I'm part of a group that talks about life and faith. Do you want to come sometime? You know, whether that's on a Sunday afternoon or a Friday night or a Wednesday night. I've been praying about something lately. Can I pray for you too? Have you read anything from the Bible? Here's a verse that really encouraged me. So some conversation starters. Anyone want to share kind of a one-liner that they might use if you're that kind of person? I'm trying to think of the one. Classic one. I think the Israel one is really, really good, or some other world event. But has anyone got a one-liner conversation starter? Because we're going to move on to bumper stickers and T-shirts to finish our class. Becky.
What's one thing I can pray for you about?
Oh, so that doesn't surprise me. Becky's very bold and outgoing. What? Tell me something I can pray about for you. Ah, wow. Brad. Ooh, have a good day, thank you, and there's a better day coming. And that may stop there, and I say, what are you talking about? Well, and you talk about the kingdom. I like that. Okay, good, good, good. Yes, Andrew?
This may not be in the right place, but we're often not in the place where I, if we're not dealing with Christians, we're dealing with Sikhs, Muslims.
You must live near me.
The question I ask these people is, explain, like, I know nothing about your faith. Mm-hmm. Explain it to me.
And then I zero in on, if God is infinitely good, how can we who are sinners be reconciled to him? Explain to me how that all happens. And wow. That's usually what starts to fall apart.
Wow. So if they're not going to ask you questions, about yeah. you ask their question about their faith.
People love when they're the center of the conversation, right? Wow. Ask them the questions.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. You should be giving this talk. Did you have something, Jenny?
I got this from a friend, but do you want to hear a big God story?
A big God story.
Yeah, and then talk about how God is working in your life in
okay.
specific situations.
Yeah. Yeah. Very good. Okay. This one we got to turn up. Sorry. I think this is our fourth or fifth sort of focus verse. So first, Romans 1:16. Again, if you just want to highlight these in your Bible, or you can just read it from there. So this is our last focus verse. Looks like we have maybe two or three more slides. We're doing okay for time. That's good. And this could be a challenging verse. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it's the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. So I'm not ashamed. And you know, I'd have to admit that there's certainly times in my life where I've felt ashamed to stand out and to stand up for what I believe. So what can we do that can help with that? And we're going to talk about bumper stickers and T-shirts, but I think it could apply to other things as well. So what can we do that can to help us not be ashamed, kind of wear it, kind of put it out there? So T-shirts or bumper stickers, ideas. So for example, life short, eternity isn't. I was going to have everyone stand up now who's got a faith-based T-shirt on. Just stand up, everybody. Everyone's wearing a camp shirt. That works. Stand up. Everybody who's got one. Okay, so we got some youth conference ones or Vacation Bible School, good Agape in Action. Good. So this one that Victoria's got is one Aunt Martha made up and we tie-dyed last year at kids camp. Life's good. Eternal life is better. Okay, there we go. Good. Okay, so that's not bad. Thank you. So this is something I think we've gotten better at as a community. So I'm just throwing some out here. And again, these are all on the list, so don't, you know, and there's probably better ones, but faith over fear. I didn't bring my sweatshirt, and I haven't had any reason to wear it yet. But the one I have is from my high school Christian fellowship group, and it says, what does it say on the back? Faith it till you make it. Right? So it's kind of like that faith over fear, faith it till you make it. Grace wins every time. Hope is my superpower. Pray first, speak second. Love does. I had to put that one in there. That's an awesome one. Although, the question I get quite often, I'm walking up and they'll say, love does what? And I haven't got a great answer for that yet. I usually have to explain what it means and so on. But yeah, so if you got a good answer for that one, let me know. God's love, no expiration date. Jesus is coming, where are you going? Which is a bit of a double entendre. Did you see the double in that one? So for the Christians, they think they're going to heaven, and I'm like, well, Jesus is coming back, so like you'll get up there and he's not there. For people that don't believe in Jesus, where are you going in life? Because Jesus is coming. So, and there's a bunch here. Jesus took the wheel and the map, too blessed to be stressed, faith, the original life hack. You know, you got to be kind of up with some of the current lingo and kind of play off it somehow. No worries, God's got this. Oh, ask me why I'm smiling. I like that one. Ask me why I'm smiling. So first of all, you better be smiling if you're wearing the T-shirt. Because why wouldn't we be smiling? Like seriously, we've got the best news ever, right? So that's kind of a good one. There's the life's good, eternal life is better one. No Jesus, no peace. No Jesus, no peace. That's I had that bumper sticker 25 years ago or so. So that's kind of a classic one. Bit more bold, you follow influencers, I follow the Savior. Jesus did it. That's kind of a play. I'm visualizing this one. I'm not the greatest, I don't have a whole lot of creativity that way with graphic design, but I'm picturing like sort of, you'd have to like fake the Nike swoop, but instead of just do it, it's like Jesus did it. It's kind of like if you could do it in that same kind of like motif. I don't know. Eternity, the ultimate destination decision. Warning, this shirt might change your life. That's another one with kind of like the you know, asking why I'm smiling. One thing I should say, just like as it comes to me, I know it's usually like twice as expensive to get like something on the front and the back, but you really need something on the back, maybe like something a bit, you know, provocative, and then the answer on the back. So like on the back of that one, I don't know, what are you going to put on the back? Maybe a verse that talks about Jesus being the way, the truth, and the life, or something like that, you know, or John 3:16 or something. Because a lot of people, like, they'll see this t-shirt when you're walking towards them, but a lot of people see you from behind, right? Like they're walking behind you. So you want to make sure, if you can, to have something on the back as well. Oh, by the way, this is from last year's CNE. This is the CNE booth, Five Reasons Why the Bible's Inspired by God. And and it's got a verse on the back about the Bible being God's inspired word. So something on front and back, if you can. Jesus died for you, live like it matters, one cross, one choice, one chance. You can't cancel the cross, sort of in our cancel culture. They try, of course. So anyway, and maybe a bit more impactful, got faith. Jesus, the original life insurance. Sin is expensive, grace is free. Kind of like that one. I plan on living forever. So far, so good. That's just a joke for me. Life short, eternity isn't. There's that one. Christ is coming, ready or not. So that's kind of like hide and seek. Jesus, more than just a Sunday thing. So that's some ideas, some suggestions. Anyone want to just share one in our last 30 seconds that we have? If you get, and this would be a great CYC project, to have a big brainstorming session, and then maybe as a group make up two or three of the best ones, get someone to do design. We got all kinds of people with all kinds of creativity, right, that can do a good design, and print them up for your CYC, and have that done. While we finish here, maybe I can hand, there's about enough, one per, could you hand those out to him, one per family? Paul, do you mind? I can get more, obviously, but if you can have one per family, I think I printed 50 copies, just as we summarize here. So, shine where you are. Don't wait to shine. Don't wait to shine. Step up, speak out, and let the gospel blaze through your life. Just be a bit more courageous. And also, just living a good life, living a Christ-like life. People should see Christ living in us. I think it's at the back wall there. I'd rather see an exhortation any day than hear one. A little poem that Brother Len used to love. That's what it is, right? Be the exhortation. What's the other one that I think it was Harry Tennant used to always say? You know, you might be the only Bible that someone ever sees, right? They should see it in you. All right, so let's try and take that advantage. The world doesn't need silent saints. It needs courageous carriers of hope. In your neighborhood, your workplace, your everyday spaces are ripe for revival. Don't think, oh, no one's listening. No one listens. No one cares. Don't have that attitude. Be out there. Put yourself out there, and hopefully people will ask you of the reason that lies with the hope that lies within you. So go be the light. Preach with your kindness, your convictions, and your courage. Shine where you are and watch how that shine, how that light multiplies. All right. Thanks, Stephen.